It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 65. This is 2023.
That's right.
The new year. And later today, we're going to have on new Texas Rangers pitcher Nathan Eovaldi is going to join us after his press conference. It's Thursday.
Yep.
And he's having his press conference at 11 o'clock. He'll join us for a little bit here after we get back from the press conference. But we got some big league stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Minor league stuff to talk about. In this space today, as a Horn fan, I'm a TCU fan. That's a big deal.
That is.
TCU grad.
Yeah, happy New Year. Yep. Happy holidays. Hope everybody had a good holiday season. While I was in Phoenix for the Fiesta Bowl, covering it for FrogsToday.com, the Rangers went and signed Nathan Eovaldi.
I got to be honest, I didn't see this one.
No, in our last episode, we both said we didn't think it would happen because we, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't, A, they had a bunch of starters.
Yeah.
And then B, I didn't think they would surrender another year without the second and third round draft picks. But, you know, you listen to Chris Young and he says, you know, if you want to win, you got to have the best players. And so they're in win mode. You know, I don't know. It's got to play itself out. You know, I like Eovaldi. You know, what he did in the 2018 World Series was just phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, a guy like that in your rotation in the postseason is great. But, of course, you have to get there. And for them to get there, they have to be healthy. And
right.
You know, outside of Martin Perez, all five of the other guys, if you include Jake Odorizzi, had injury deals in last season and the season before even. So you really wonder, are these guys going to make it to the finish line? And I think that's why there's six of them now. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're going to go to a true six-man rotation, but I think that if Odorizzi ends up being the swing man, they have the luxury of just dropping him in there, you know, during one of those stretches of 18 or 20 in a row, drop a guy in there, give everybody an extra day.
Or skip a start if a guy just needs to have a start.
Sure,
skip.
Sure. So you can do that. But, I was talking to somebody with the Rangers and, you know, the magic number is really, you know, if you can keep Odorizzi under 10 spot starts, then everything's going to, that means that they've done their job, that these starters have been healthy. Now,
right.
You know, and look, somebody's going to go on the injured list. I mean, sure. It happens every year. It's just going to happen. And so, you know, you it looks like now Glenn Otto and Dane Dunning are going to be in the minor leagues or going to be in the bullpen. Or, you know, you can't have them both in there because that kills your pitching depth. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But they clearly have a plan. And you know, knowing each guy's medicals, it is a concern. There's always risk with any signing, but when you have five of them, You got a lot of juggling to do.
Well, they went out and said they were going to focus on pitching this year. They did it. Last year, they said they were going to focus on bats. They did it. I'm amazed because I think anybody would have been happy if Dane Dunning was the fifth starter. Sure. Or Glenn Otto. You would have gone into it and said, man, we could see it. But those guys filling out the back end of your rotation means you have thoroughly improved your rotation. Those guys are odd man out now.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, now we know Dunning's coming back from the hip thing. I don't know if he's going to be fully healthy for spring training.
Sure.
Otto is healthy. Yeah. And Otto had some decent starts last year. He is not some schlub out there. He throws hard. He's a good back end of the rotation guy and maybe a swing man. I don't know.
Yeah.
But good Lord, you just look at the depth now. And yes, of course, all these guys are coming. But so, you know, look at Mike Minor, who was coming off injuries when they signed him. Right. Lance Lynn had struggled and done that. And then you know, Perez was just, they took a flyer on Perez when he turned out. But you look at, if you were a Ranger fan and you're not excited about what this rotation is going into the season, you couldn't have asked for anything more. You can't say that this ownership doesn't want to win.
Yeah, you have all-stars, you have World Series winners.
Yep.
You have guys that strike a bunch of guys out. They've all got track record, you know, and they've been around, so they know how to pitch.
Yeah.
And so that's entirely different than what the Rangers have had the last 2 years. And
right.
So that's it. I mean, that alone is they're better.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of posting 20, 30 times a year and being, exactly. and being able to get it done. And, you know, it looks like, honestly, if I'm looking at it, it looks like this is kind of a 2-year plan too, because this year you're going to nurse them through. Next year you're going to have potential free agents in Martin Perez and Andrew Heaney and Odorizzi, you know. So if you can get these guys through who are coming back after this year,
right.
get them through healthy, not tax them too terribly much, and then they'll be ready for a full go in 2024. But
you give them a qualifying offer if you don't extend them. No, seriously, you could have three guys you could give a qualifying.
Well,
offer.
Martin can't get one again because he's
not him, right? Yeah,
but Heaney has the interesting opt out after this year, and if everything goes well, he'll opt out. That's right. That's just the way it is, and so
that's good. If he's opting out, that means he had a good year.
Exactly. So. Starting pitching looks good. The manager's great. Pitching coach is terrific. You wonder about now left field, and you wonder about
bats is what we got to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you had a great article, by the way, that put me at ease when you talked about Bubba.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just Bubba, and I don't see Bubba necessarily. Could Bubba just take off from the start of the year and be the left fielder? Of course he could. He's got the talent.
Yeah.
It's about putting it together. But there are options
within
this organization that they don't necessarily have to go out and find the
You kind of look at the landscape right now in free agency and trade, and you wonder, is there a massive upgrade over what the Rangers have internally? I'm sure, may Rangers go trade for Mike Trout. Great. That's a huge upgrade.
I'm okay with that.
But, you see these names here, like, do you want to give that money to them? Because they all have flaws at this point. I mean, they're not on the market because they're 8-time all-stars. They're on the market because they're either declining, coming off a bad, or trade market, they're coming off of bad seasons, they're expendable because the team that they're on right now has guys coming up or has signed other guys. Well, why did they sign other guys? Well, because they don't like this guy as much as they used to. So, you know what you have with Bubba and with Josh Smith and, Brad Miller still on the team. And, you can cobble something together that could be pretty good, depending on how they perform. But, you also have, does Ray Davis want to go over the luxury tax? Does he want to be in a position where he's going
to... What's he got, about $20 million to play with there?
Yes. Do you want to be in that position where you're getting taxed for your overage? And is there value with the pick? Are you just going to sign somebody to say you signed somebody type of thing and then be disappointed with what you've done? So I think that, I made the case for Bubba at RangersDay.com. $5.99 a month, $60 a year, $35 for 6 months.
Hey, we're starting off a new year. This would be a great time to join up right now.
Yeah, and, they don't know a lot about him. He played 2 months in the major leagues. I think he hit 250. His on-base percentage was a little over 300, I think, if I'm right. Didn't walk a lot, struck out a lot. You know, there's room for improvement for sure. And I asked Chris Young on our last conference call, can you guys go where you want to go with Bubba Thompson as your everyday left fielder? And he said, to be determined. I can't answer that yet. There's not enough evidence. But they like Bubba. And they don't just like him as a player. They love him as a guy. Absolutely. Everybody loves Bubba.
We've had him on. He's an unbelievable kid.
Yeah, and it's not just he's nice. It's like just the energy he brings, how he brings it. It's a little different, it's like smart. Anyway, Colby Lewis loves Bubba Thompson. Colby Lewis is like, Bubba is my kind of player.
Right.
And so, there are a lot of guys on Bubba's side, and he's so fast. And now
the bases are bigger.
The distance in between bases is a little bit shorter. I mean, it's gonna take a miracle for him to get thrown out.
I know. I'll tell you.
But as he always says, you can't steal first base. So if he can figure out how to get on or show signs that he is, and if you want to platoon him, platoon him. But I just could see a way where Bubba Thompson is at the bottom of your lineup and is a guy who, if he's getting on base. And he's on base.
He's the catalyst for
the top of the order.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's something there. Plus, makes the league minimum.
Sure.
That gives you room. Let's say you are a contender at the trade deadline, and you decide, I need to go get a closer, or I need to go get another bullpen arm, or I need to go get a left fielder.
Right.
There's money there for you to go do that. So there's just a lot of reasons why he could do it and why the Rangers could do it with what they have internally. So I don't know, judging by what they've done this offseason, I'd be shocked. Shocked, but it seems like they're going to sign somebody, or acquire somebody. It could be a trade too.
Their trade.
But at this point, it seems like trade would be the better avenue, just what's out there in free agency. But
there's only one guy that I've there was some talk about Profar, and I like Profar. I always liked Profar, but that's going to take a multi-year deal. I think get him at least a couple years. There's only really one guy out there that I felt like, I've loved this guy since he's been in the big leagues. I've always loved his story. He's such a veteran presence. He can play left field. He could also play first base. He could DH, and that's Mancini, who I've always loved. He didn't do well with the Astros after the trade last year, but he's a veteran presence in that lineup who I think it's a one-off. It's kind of a one-off because he's always performed pretty well. And then he went through the cancer thing, which is a really good story
that. Yeah.
Going back, he's a guy I could see coming on a one-year deal to reestablish some he's only, 30, 31? He's not real old.
He's not old. But
that's the one guy I'm kind of like, okay, I see that, because that doesn't take away Bubba necessarily. This is a guy you can slide into a lineup five times a week without having to play him in left field five times. You could slide him in three or four times out there, move him around a right-handed lineup. Sure. I mean, I like Mancini, but if they don't get him, you've made the case that I'm like, okay, we're okay to be patient. Spending money is great, and this ownership group has spent money, but you don't just spend money. It has to be smart money.
Right.
So
let's say they get Mancini or somebody else. Then I'm of the idea that you send Bubba to AAA.
You like him there. You don't want him to fourth.
You let him go finish it off, his development. You let him get everyday at-bats. If Brad Miller ends up being your fourth outfielder, that's okay. Josh Smith, if he makes the team, he can be an outfielder.
And an infielder.
Adolis Garcia can play center field.
Sure.
So there are ways of getting by. But I think I would want Bubba to continue to develop. And then if in a couple months it looks like he's got it figured out, he can come up to the major leagues and be a fourth outfielder, play four times a week.
Absolutely. He'll have to play every week.
But if he's going to sit most of the time, and it seems like, Bruce Bochy is a guy who likes to, just put guys in and let him go. And if Bubba
Oates used to be that way, Johnny Oates.
Well, it's old school.
Yeah.
Bobby Cox used to, Bruce Bochy made a joke the last time we talked to him. He said, Bobby Cox didn't send a lineup over because I knew exactly what it was going to be. Because it was going to be the same guys in the same spot, and Bruce wants to do that. So, anyway, if you want your young guys to continue to develop, the minor leagues is a pretty good place for that to happen, especially at AAA. And it looked like Bubba conquered everything last year, you know, with what he did. I think he was the, you know, rated the most exciting player in the Pacific Coast League. He was the MVP of the Express. He was on the MILB organization. He was the center fielder for the Rangers. So anyway, there's a lot going on there. But there's also now bullpen work that needs to be done.
I was about to say, I was looking at Leclerc there. Yeah. Who's still left? I mean, Kimbrel got signed yesterday. Through trade? Is that the way you go? They just signed Kyle Funkhauser.
Okay, great. He's coming off a shoulder injury.
Played for the Tigers. Yeah. Minor league deal, though, so he's not on the 40.
Right. But you can find a reliever who's going to help.
They've got some good internal candidates.
Yeah, but I don't know that the Rangers are going to sign a closer at this point. If a closer was their target, they would have already pulled the trigger. But you have Jose Leclerc who will be removed from his Tommy John. He got that last season, the 2022 season, he came back. He pitched pretty well at times. He does have experience as a closer, not necessarily on a contending team, but it seems like closer will be kind of a shared bullpen, a closer by committee deal.
Hernandez, you got Burke.
Yeah, I think the way that Bruce Bochy will want a guy who can, when Leclerc's worked 2 days in a row, you got a guy who's right there. So, the bullpen's going to be interesting, especially with the starters and potentially limited on their innings. You have Odorizzi, it looks like, Hearn.
Burke,
who can all pitch multiple innings. Then you have Hernandez, Leclerc, Barlow. So that's six. Brett Martin is still, he's going to be tendered a contract, so
they haven't
avoided arbitration with him yet, but I don't think that'll be hard to do. So there's your seven spots, so that leaves room for one free agent. Now, a lot of these guys can be optioned, which is great,
right?
But do you put Otto in the bullpen? Do you need Otto because you need guys to cover innings? So I don't know, but we'll see. It'd be interesting. I liked how the Rangers kind of started using Burke back-to-back days late last season. One inning stints. I don't know if he evolves into that. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But, if what he did last year is who he is, use him the way, same role. Shut down a team for two innings and get it from the sixth to the eighth, or get the team in position to use its winning pieces.
Absolutely. That answer to you've kind of got your bullpen set right now. I mean, honestly, and is it the best? Last year they weren't the best, but Leclerc, they kind of say when you're coming back from Tommy John, it's good he got the innings at the end of the year last year, but you kind of got to get your feel back, and that's kind of the last thing.
Right.
You start getting your velocity back up, you start getting your breaking pitches working again, but you still don't have your feel on the mound yet, and that's where the offseason comes in, spring training. You start getting it together, and then you get back to where you were. Jonathan Hernandez is in the same boat.
Yeah,
he had surgery, he was coming back. That's another kid that was throwing. Yerry Rodriguez is another name that didn't play much, but he's also throwing in the high 90s. He's moved over to the bullpen, was a decent starter in the minor leagues. I mean, there are arms there that can come up, and you can at least see what you've got. This is the year. Remember how they did, I guess it was 21 when they kind of said, we're just going to see what these bats are and see what we've got. And they struggled. They were horrible, but they played it out and saw what they needed. Then they went and signed the free agents they wanted.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the year. Bullpen's an easier thing to do where you can say, let's see what bullpen arms we have. We can go trade for someone because they do plan on contending.
Yeah.
We can go trade for someone if we need it. Let's cobble what we've got and see if we've got anything here. That'll tell us, do we need one, two, three arms to come in? Or we've got some guys. We just really need that last bit at the end. I mean, they've got the prospects, and they've got the starting rotation and a damn good lineup, I think.
Yeah.
It's not a great lineup, but it's a damn good lineup.
They were top five in the American League in runs scored.
Absolutely.
The thing the Rangers need to improve is how they do against contending teams.
Sure. Because
they didn't hit well against the Astros. And, I mean, nobody hit well against the Astros.
Right.
But they struggled at times against the Mariners. And so that's kind of the next step, I think, for the offense is figuring out how to do it against elite, elite arms.
Yep.
And you know, if they can do that, then yeah, then it's a more complete offense. But it's still top five. And,
right.
And you know, if Marcus Semien hits his first home run on April 2nd instead of May 26th this year, I think the Rangers are gonna have a feel a little bit better about things.
And, exactly.
So anyway, let's get the new guy on right now.
The O is silent.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
All right, Nathan Eovaldi. Right after this. And joining us right now from Globe Life Field, it's new Texas Rangers pitcher Nathan Eovaldi is joining us. Nate, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well, doing well. We just saw you at the press conference. Saw the family. I made your son a paper airplane. I hope he's enjoying it. They were rustling those papers during it. And it was pretty funny.
He still has it. He was throwing it around earlier, but he still got it.
Okay, good. I hope he doesn't poke anybody's eye out, but we're good on that. But just kind of what you talked about here at the press conference. Why the Texas Rangers? Why the team that won 68 games last year? Why do you think they can win championships here in the near future?
I mean, I feel like it's the way that the ownership's going about winning, the way they're going about building the organization, the team. We have the young prospects that are in the minors that are ready to come up. Adding to the rotation. For me personally, my biggest belief in winning a World Series championship is having a good starting rotation. And I feel like we have 7+ arms that are able to do that. I'm not familiar, 100% with all the minor league guys and stuff that we have, but that's what I'm looking forward to for spring training, to get to know everybody and help them guys out. But, we have 7 solid arms that are able to, make an impact right now in the starting rotation. And then that just helps the bullpen out that much more. And I think whenever you have a fresh bullpen, it saves the load of the starting rotation. The starting rotation, it works vice versa. They both work with each other and help each other out. And again, sure, when you can go six, seven, eight innings, the infield guys, all the offense, like, they look forward to coming into the field knowing that we have a chance to win today. And I think that's where it all starts. And once you show the guys that we're here and we're ready to compete and win, I think it opens the doors to success.
Looking at the way you've pitched in the past and looking at your numbers, it seems like your favorite pitch is strike one. it just seems like you work in the zone, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, but just kind of talk about your pitching philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's strike one. And I've come to learn that teams are going to take them chances. You can usually tell from the first batter what their game plan is going to be. And if they come out swinging, that's where fortunately, I got 5 pitches. I have 4 off-speed pitches that I can go to. And, I essentially come into a game having 2 to 3 scouting reports on how I'm going to attack the hitters. But then I also need to know how they're going to try to face me and react to me. And because I throw so many strikes, they come out swinging aggressively early, trying to get 1 or 2 runs across the board early. And I got to do what I can to prevent that. And again, to be able to go 7, 8 innings, you can't be losing pitches. So if you fall behind a guy 2-0, that's 2 pitches that are wasted. It's same if you get a guy 0-2 and now it's a full count, you've wasted 3 other pitches. I'm a big fan of strikeouts, but at the same time, I'm more of a fan of a 1 pitch out. So whatever I have to do to go out there and get as many outs as possible, as quick as possible, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it seems like the Rangers have – I mean, every team wants their pitchers to not walk guys. But, there's been a point of emphasis for the Rangers. It seems like Chris Young, and I know from experience, and John knows, having worked with Mike Maddux, that Mike Maddux, that's his thing too. What's your interaction been with those two guys?
Yeah, so I've been talking to CY quite a bit, obviously, with all the negotiations and things like that. And then ever since that I've signed the deal or we came to an agreement with it, we've been talking a lot, and that was one of the other things that intrigued me about coming over here, is you have somebody with a pitching mind in the front office that has been finger and knows what we're going through and what it takes to be successful. And he's working with ownership and to make that happen. And that was another reason to coming over here. And Working with Maddox, we've only had, two brief conversations, but I'm extremely excited about coming over here and working with him, the success that he's had and working with players and obviously as a pitcher himself, just to be able to be a part of that. And, I think it's going to be outstanding for us. And same with Bochy, having the success that he's had as a manager and just knowing what it takes to win a World Series championship. It's when I went through it in 18, we had that confidence coming to 19 that we were going to be able to do it. And I think we finished last place. There's just those expectations that you want. And it doesn't work that way. There are no expectations. You have to go out and put in the work, and it's the daily ins and out of everything and the grind and being a part of a team and having each other's back and just having that camaraderie in the clubhouse. And we know what it takes. Now we just have to piece it all together.
Yeah. Now this isn't the first time you've switched teams in your career, but you come here and you the way baseball is, you probably know somebody, but Martin Perez, and Martin's a friend of our show. I've known Martin since he was 17 years old. What's your relationship with him?
It's great. Ever since, he was my team for the first time over there with the Red Sox, he's been outstanding. He's one of the guys that relates obviously really well with the Latin guys, but also too with everybody else in the clubhouse. And you have to have that. You can't just have pitchers with pitchers, infielders, outfielders all together. Like, it needs to be a full team effort. And, he does a really good job of getting everybody involved. And, he messes around with everybody and, he keeps everybody laughing, and you never really see him upset about anything. So it's always good to have that positivity in the clubhouse. And I feel I'm the same way of always being positive. And there's always a brighter outlook on everything. And even in the darker situations and things like that. But I've also played with Brad Miller, Jake, Odorizzi. Sure. I think that's it.
Okay.
I play with a few guys and obviously against a lot of the guys, but I'm excited to join the Rangers and to get everything going for sure.
Did you see Martin's suit that he wore to the All-Star game?
I did.
That's pretty sweet. Not everybody can pull that off.
Not everybody can pull it off, but he's one of them.
Hey, he's also, I think he's planning to play in the World Baseball Classic. I know you've committed to it. What led you to that, and how does that affect a spring training for you?
So obviously I've always wanted to. I've always dreamed of being able to put on the USA uniform and be able to represent for our country. And this was the first time that they had offered it, and I didn't hesitate to say yes to it. I'm willing to do whatever they need me to do. And obviously we have a loaded amount of talent that's going to be participating in it. And obviously the goal is to bring home the gold. From what I was told, there's really not going to be that much of a difference compared to spring training and where we normally are. We may be built up one inning extra, but there's going to be limitations. They're not going to be running us out there for 100 pitches through four or five innings, things like that. I think it'll be an inning limit and a pitch limit. But again, I'm going to be prepared and willing to do whatever they need me to do.
Now you told us afterward that some of the writers that you've been off a mound. Was that in preparation for this, or is that just kind of you wanting to just keep your arm going?
No, yeah. For me, I enjoy just getting it going a little early. I'd rather prepare a little early and kind of taper off there towards the end or as needed, kind of prepare for any hiccups that may occur and don't feel like in the off season I have to do everything on a 5-day basis. I know I'm a little early with where I am right now, pitch-wise. I'm 30, 35 pitches. I'm throwing out a stretch and wind up. I feel like I'm a little bit ahead of where I need to be right now. So, again, it gives me a little bit more wiggle room. I've been throwing basically one bullpen a week, and, we'll start building up a little bit more prepared for spring training and then the Classic.
All right. Well, before I hand you over to John, he's going to touch on this, but how's it feel to be the second best pitcher ever from Alvin High School?
Yeah, I'm just glad to be able to put on a uniform, have my name associated with his. It's incredible.
I mean, is it hard? I mean, obviously, everybody says, "Oh, Alvin, Nolan Ryan." I mean, do you have any relationship with them, or what is it like in Alvin to be a high school pitcher?
For me, it was an honor. You walk into the field and it's Nolan Ryan Field, and they named it after him. I know he donated a lot of money to it. You have all of his accolades and everything like that on a giant poster board. Right there when you walk into the school. So you see the no hitters and it's all the records. I mean, I'm sure y'all have seen the Netflix documentary. I thought it was incredible. And I just, I feel like I learned something new all the time about him that I've never known. I was only able to meet him one time. I think he had already moved out of Alvin when I was in high school. I wasn't that big of a name in high school either. I had my first Tommy John when I was a junior. I was able to make it back my senior year, and that's kind of when I got on the board and was able to get drafted by the Dodgers. But I think he had already moved out to the Texas area or the Arlington area because he was dealing or working with the Rangers.
Yeah.
So I met him for the first time. It was in 2015 when I was with the Yankees against when we were playing the Astros, and he had actually came to one of the games. And I mean, I felt like that was more nerve wracking than anything. I got Nolan sitting there with his wife, and it just an incredible honor to be able to meet him and everything that he's been able to do for me. A huge thanks. And, you know, just not only Nolan, but also to his family, Reed and everyone. They've been out for me.
All right. Awesome. All right. I hand you over to John real quick. He asked a little fun stuff.
Yeah, I get more fun. We get to learn a little bit more about Nathan. So you graduated from Alvin in 2008, Alvin High School. We know where that's Nolan Ryan. Did you play any other sports when you were growing up?
I mean, growing up, I was always into golf, baseball, basketball. That was really it. Yeah, I mean, mainly basketball, track, things like that. But being in Texas, you play baseball year round. And our high school coach was, hey, if you're going to be a part of the team, you're a part of the team. You got to be committed to it. So I only ever played baseball in high school. I'd fallen off a horse when I was younger, and I got a real bad concussion. My dad's like, you're not playing football. And I never put on the pads or anything or suited up. So I never knew what I was missing. So I never really had that desire to play.
Hey, how's your golf game?
In the backyard, things like that. So,
are you scratch? Yeah.
How's your golf game?
Oh, my golf game is terrible.
Oh, okay.
I shoot under 100. It is like I was shot. You know, if I shot scratch, so I'm terrible at golf.
Okay, so
I enjoy it though.
To let you know, you said you don't know a lot about the minor league guys. Cole Wynn, who's in the minors and he's on the 40-man roster, is a great golfer.
Yeah, hook up with him.
And Mike Maddox is terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, Maddox is really good, too.
So just watch your wallet when you're around those two.
You won't find me out there. No, I'm more into fishing and stuff. I'll be looking in the back ponds for some big bass.
All right, there you go.
All right, now, so coming out of high school, now, in my understanding, you committed to A&M, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, sir, see, he knows how old I am. Committed to A&M. Were there any other schools in play? Did you have anybody else you thought you might go to?
So the way A&M worked out was – they reached out to me when I was a junior and I had my first Tommy John, and they gave me the minimum scholarship. And for me, if I didn't recover from my Tommy John and I couldn't get a scholarship for baseball, then I would have that to go to. And I know that they're a great academic school, and that's what I would have. That was the plan.
Okay. So, all right, that's fair. And now, okay. So you're drafted out of high school. I love this question. You were drafted in the 11th round by the Dodgers in 2008. You weren't in New York. You were an 11th rounder. Where were you when you got drafted? How did you find out you'd been drafted?
So I was at home with my dad, and a lot of the agents were saying that I was going to be a first, on a first round, second round draft. And we watched, and my name didn't pop up. And the next day it continues, and we're watching, and I kind of got bored of it. So I think I was in my room playing video games or something like that. And I hear my dad celebrating. He's like, hey, screaming. And I come in there and he's like, you're drafted by the Dodgers 11th round. I'm like, let's go. So we had that special, father son moment at the house together. And it was cool.
All right. Last one. This one, we're going to get you out of here. And then we'll get you on another time this year. We'll have some more fun stuff. So you made your major league debut on August 6th, 2011. That means you got the call up. So that's the way that happened. This is always a fun one for anybody that's been in the big leagues. How'd you find out you were going to the big leagues? Did they mess with you a little bit? What happened?
Yeah, so I was with the Dodgers at the time, and they were going through – they had a string of injuries happening, and I wasn't on the 40-man, so they had to make moves for me, roster moves. And we were – I forget which organization it is. We were playing the Diamondbacks in Double-A. I forget where they were at the time, but, they called me in the office and were like, hey, you're not making your next start. You're going to Arizona, you're not playing, you're not facing the, the minor league Diamondbacks, but the big league guys. So, I flew out and it was awesome. I mean, that whole debut, I remember one of the biggest moments was I was nervous warming up in the bullpen and, taking it all in with the crowd. And this little girl was singing the national anthem. She had to be 3 or 4 years old and she just absolutely killed it. And I was like, wow. If she go out there and sing in front of, I don't like interviews. I don't like singing, in front of people, or you won't see me doing any karaoke or anything like that. And she went out there and killed it. I was like, if she can do it, I can go out here and pitch. And, I've been doing this for years. So I had a pretty good, debut, and it's where it all started.
Absolutely. Awesome. Anything else?
No, hopefully you can continue with the Rangers here for the next couple, 3 years. That'd be,
Yes, sir.
If so, that means good things for the franchise.
Absolutely. Hey, Nathan, thank you so much. I know it's a busy day. You just signed and had the press conference. Taking time to come on, it's really special. Thanks to the Rangers for getting you on here with us. Hey, we'll see you out at the ball field, obviously. We'll see you spring training. Yeah, we'll see you out there. And get you on here again. I got some more fun stuff to ask you.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it, fellas.
All right, man. All right,
that's Nathan Eovaldi. When we come back, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. Thanks, Nate.
Thank y'all.
Thanks to the Texas Rangers for taking the time there for a second to get Nathan on with us after signing his contract today. Big thanks to Texas and Nathan for coming on. Dude, we do need to talk about some minor league stuff.
There is some stuff
that we need to talk about. So what's that list that came out? They came out with the organizational.
Yeah,
it was MILB.
MILB organizational all-stars.
At each position.
At each position. One right-handed pitcher, one left-handed pitcher, and a reliever.
And the position players.
And then the position players.
Let me start. How many have been on the Rangers Today Baseball podcast?
Eight of the 11. Ezekiel Duran was on the team. Liam Hicks at catcher. And then Anthony, whose last name I don't want to even attempt. I've heard it said.
He's the Hawaiian?
Yeah. God bless him. I look forward to meeting him and hearing him say his name. You know, on the jersey, it starts at his rib cage and goes all the way up.
Wasn't Saltalamacchia that way?
But this one's got a hyphen. I mean, it's 6, 9, 12, 15 letters. So, anyway.
Is he a relief pitcher?
Congratulations to him. But, it's interesting. You know, there are a couple interesting ones. Thomas Ajayi behind us was the third baseman. I suppose, you know, Josh Young didn't play enough.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Ornelas, our buddy, is the shortstop on this team ahead of Acuna. Acuna was injured the first month. Unbelievable at Hickory. Came up to Frisco and struggled a little bit. Jonathan was just steady as a damn rock at Frisco the whole year. He's earned his way onto the 40-man roster. So
absolutely,
it makes sense. And
is only 22 years old.
Yeah, he's a youngin. And you know, Blaine Crim at first base, Justin Foscue second
base,
Bubba, Evan Carter, and Duran in the outfield. So it's guys you know, Mason Englert was the right-handed pitcher
selected, Detroit.
Selected by Detroit in the Rule 5 draft, and then Mitch Bratt, the Canadian from down east, he joined us in July, and he's the left-handed pitcher on the team. So, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but you know, we've had the best of the best on this show.
Well, and once again, a big thank you to the Texas Rangers.
These kids, you know, because we go through like Zach Bigley at Frisco, and you know. We get help from the affiliates too, and some of these guys, the players, just give us their number and like, hey, just give me a call, we'll do it. And
yep.
So, but you know, they spend 30 minutes, and it's not like it, you know.
Yep, they do. Those are the longer shows, but they're fun because you know these guys aren't getting hit by press every day like daily at their. So it's nice to talk to them, and these are future major leaguers. Everyone we've had on looks like they're going to be a major leaguer.
Yeah, you know, and it's their top 30 prospects, you know, in the organization.
Some of them are top 100.
You know, so it's gonna be fun to see what happens with them.
Sure.
And you know, we've also had Dustin Harris on the show. Who good news on him. You know, he finished last season kind of banged up with a little wrist ligament deal. He didn't play the final month or so for Frisco and wasn't part of the playoff run. But he appears to be healthy. He took part in a hitting camp that the Rangers had for minor leaguers in Arizona. They had a group, you know, a small group for like the more advanced guys, and then a small group for the guys that they want to see maybe take jumps this year or think are they're guys that can really be upper level guys at some point in major leaguers. But that's good news because, you know, as we were talking about in the first segment about left field, Dustin Harris plays left field.
Yeah.
And he's
there are internal candidates that could come up from the minor leagues.
He's on the 40-man roster.
Yep.
I don't know where he, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think when Ross was on earlier, Ross Fenstermaker, when he was on November, he talked about how they've already kind of done an exercise where they're trying to figure out where to put prospects to start next season. Harris is kind of an interesting one. You know, he played well at Frisco. I think, you know, he was learning left field, which, you know, doesn't sound like it's rocket science.
He was
science,
a first baseman when he,
but you know, when these guys are trying to develop in a new position, it takes away.
Yep.
It takes away from other things. And so he had a nice offensive season. So I don't know if he would go back there, you know, to start the year. I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Duran, Smith, and Bubba.
I think we kept waiting on trades to happen. They haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's still a possibility too. You know, they need 40-man spots. The Rangers are going to need 40-man spots if they're going to sign relievers and an outfielder to major league contracts. So,
right.
You know, a trade would certainly do that, but anyway, you know, so there is Dustin here, and assuming he's healthy, and you know, Aaron Zavala, who I know you
not on the 40 man,
we both like not on the 40 man.
He's my guy, he's injured.
He had the not the Tommy John, but kind of the Tommy John, and but he should be back in May, full go.
He
might hit sooner than that, but you know, he's another guy who you just kind of. The year he had last year, it just seemed like something clicked when he got to the summer months at Hickory, and then it continued at Frisco, which is really encouraging for it to happen at a high level. So or a higher level. So those are two other guys that, hey, you know,
well,
you don't discount them. You don't, you're like, well, they might be a little further away, but if they get hot and you want to ride the hot hand, I don't think the Rangers have never been shy about giving guys an opportunity if they've earned.
No, they don't try to play that manipulation game on service time. If they can use them, they can use them. They take it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to watch some guys that seem to be blocked at the big league level who are good bats. If they're not moved, you might watch them to see if they start getting a little bit of outfield. Someone like a, you know, like a Foscue.
Yeah, I was going to – you took the name right out of my mouth. He's going to be Rule 5 eligible next year.
Right.
So this is kind of the point where you start to try guys out at other positions.
Sure.
So, you know, clearly.
Because he's probably going to go to AAA, I would imagine.
Clearly he's blocked at second base. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, can he play third? Yeah, he played a little third at Frisco, but third base, you know, looks like Josh Young's a job. Nate Lowe looks like he secured first base.
Sure.
And Foscue, I think he said it on our show. If he didn't say it on our show, he said it to me. He's convinced he can play the outfield.
Yeah.
You know, people think he's kind of a lumbering guy, but and then he's had some foot injuries that are a little concerning, or I guess a foot injury, but still there's some wear and tear in the outfield that you don't get in the infield. But, you know, if he hits like he can hit, this is a bat you're gonna want in your lineup. I don't care who's in it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a possibility for sure.
Absolutely. And then again, you know, going into, you know, spring training, they're going to report here in about a month or so. You're going to start getting pitchers and catchers. Is that going to be first?
It'll be like – it's going to be after the Super Bowl.
So second week of February.
Yeah, the Super Bowl's in Arizona again this year.
Right.
I mean, so Fiesta Bowl, Super Bowl, and like a lot of the hotels and housing is all booked up. So players are having trouble getting rooms. So I think that – there's a chance it could start a little bit before then, but I don't think so. But yeah, like the 14th or 15th, 16th, somewhere in there. I think if you do the math backwards, I think it's 45 days from opening days when you can first report.
Yeah.
And do so count backwards. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
well, my point
that's the
to
target
that,
area.
Yeah, yeah. And my point to that was there's two new guys going to be in spring training. What actually they're going to come in with the minor leaguers, which is what March 6th or so when they report.
Yeah.
But that's pitchers and catchers, do the minor leaguers come in with that too?
Yeah, they just all come
because you've got Rocker and Porter.
Yeah, they'll probably come early. You know, the Rangers will be playing games before.
I'm excited to see both of those guys go out into an affiliate.
Sure, but
and
the Rangers will be playing games before then. And the And the regulars, as we all know, in the first couple games, first couple weeks, play 3-4 innings tops.
Yes.
And so you need guys to come in. But they, you know, the guys who are in camp, right, they're only going to play 3 or 4 innings tops.
Yeah.
And they're not all playing every day. You know, they get the rest. They play two, they get one off or whatever. So anyway,
and they have
you need minor minor leaguers. They're right. called JICs, just in case players.
Yeah.
Well, these guys will finish out games, but it'll be the advanced guys. So it'll be
your upper level minor leaguers.
Yeah. Well, so like Leiter is going to be in camp. You know, yeah. guys like that are going to be in camp probably. But you know, guys who you are familiar with and want to be familiar with are going to be finishing out these games. My point is there will be minor leaguers in camp before the report date, and I'm assuming that Porter and Rocker will be among them.
Yeah, and those are two guys, because we're down in the bus leagues. Those are probably the two right now, and it's the first show of the season or the new year doing that. I want to see those two hit an affiliate this year. I can't wait to watch them when we get to spring training, and we got to get over there and watch them throw their bullpens. They'll throw at least one or two while we're there. Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of fun to see them do it. But those are two guys I'm excited to see and doing that. But so the minor leagues, man, top 5-6 in the whole, all of baseball. I mean, this is a very deep system. Now, that's depending on – I can't even begin to try to start my top 20 countdown. We got to see if anything's going to happen. Right now
– I've got to get in mind, too.
Not much has changed right now. So, I mean, there's not a lot to change from, but I'm anxious to see what happens there. But anything else before we get out of here?
No, just your usual reminders to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I think there's a button that you can push. And then
it's right down here.
Rangers Today, $5.99 a month, $60 for a year, $35 for 6 months.
Starting a brand new year. This is a great time to join up.
Yeah, I mean, we're if you're excited about Rangers baseball, this is the time to do it.
Absolutely. Guys, we're back. It's 2023. You did the last episode was our best of 2022. Now we're at 2023. Like we say at the end of every one of these before we go on to the next one, guys, we'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.